And good morning. It is 16 minutes after 8 a.m. You're tuned to your community radio station, Raven Radio, KCAW, in Sitka. Joining me in the studio, Tammy Young from the Sitka Tribe of Alaska, and Michelle Putz from the, you're representing?
The Forest Service.
The U.S. Forest Service. Welcome to Morning Edition, folks.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Well, you're here to talk about a really fun springtime learning activity that is coming up, and it's all about the Tlingit potato. And Tammy, I was going to ask you to talk about this particular species of potato and why it's so important to the area.
Well, I'm not sure that I know just how important it is, but this coming Friday, the Forest Service and Sitka Tribe of Alaska have come together to provide an educational opportunity for the community. We're very interested in knowing if there are other community members that know the unique history of the Tlingit potato.
What is that history, as far as you two are aware?
You know, it's challenging to figure this out. We have more research that tells us the long-term history, that these potatoes are related to Mexican, Peruvian, and Chilean potatoes rather than European potatoes. So they've done genetic testing to show that they to show this, and that they've probably come up separate from Europeans bringing them. They are probably a trade item that came through native cultures, you know, hundreds of years ago. And they've been grown throughout Southeast Alaska, I think partially because they're just really well adapted to this area. They can handle the rain. They seem to do better with slugs even. So they're just it's not a extremely productive potato, but it is a potato that does well here and has been grown, so far as we know, probably for hundreds of years, especially further north and further south. They probably came in from those directions. But they've been here for probably hundreds of years, and because they grow vegetatively, you start with a seed potato, not with a seed, they're very closely related to the plants that somebody may have been growing thousands of years ago.
Okay. Tell us about what people will get a chance to do on April 14th.
Well, we'd like to invite people to the new Forest Service building. And behind the building, there's a plot that Michelle has been working on to plant potatoes. And we've invited the Pacific High students to come as well. They're very excited about being a part of this project and learning more about not just growing potatoes, but what the Forest Service does in the community and things like that. So we're pretty excited. We're encouraging folks to bring their work gear. Please wear boots. You get a little muddy. Maybe bring some gloves and possibly a shovel. And anybody that would like to bring some seaweed to put into the soil, that would be wonderful.
And you're also hoping to start a conversation about the potato. In your wildest dreams, what would this look like?
Well, we've spent a fair amount of time trying to find elders that had any experience with these Tlingit potatoes, and we're very interested in knowing how they ever got to be called Tlingit potatoes, given that they may have come from somewhere like Peru or Chile. It sounds as though they have adapted to this region very well if they've taken on the moniker of Tlingit potato. So we're interested in any information that people have to share. And like we said, we're looking at this as an educational opportunity and an opportunity for Sitka Tribe to partner with the Forest Service. We've been looking around to see how we can strengthen our partnership in managing the resources here in Sitka. And this is a really wonderful community-based opportunity.
It would also be fun to have it be a traditional, it is a traditional food source. It would be fun if people learned enough that it could not only provide food this time, but that people would learn how to store the potatoes so that they could, that we could expand the population here in Sitka, and have this be a food source that others could share. Because I've had a lot of people requesting, do you have more seed potatoes? It's like, oh, I've only saved so many. It's a good lesson in sustainability, because you have to, you have to create more than you can use, and then you have to save it, and you have to save it in the right way, or else you're not able to continue it. So it's a good lesson in sustainability and food and culture and tradition that I think crosses all cultures.
Now, these potatoes, they were trade potatoes.
They probably were traded, with the Russians probably were very appreciative of them, because Russians, also, enjoyed potatoes. They may have come from the Russians, but it's just as likely that they were traded, amongst the native tribes, not just with the Russians.
And one of the items that's always on the mind of, Sitka tribe is the food security here in Sitka. And I'm sure the community has noticed in the last 4 or 5 years that we've had several conferences that include homelessness and food security. So for us at Sitka Tribe, we're very interested in that aspect, providing enough food for all of the people in Sitka. And if this is a resource that we can cultivate and take into the future and provide that food security for those with less, that would be a wonderful benefit.
Have either of you tried these potatoes?
I grow them, and I grow a lot of them. I love them. They have some really neat benefits that make them easy to grow in Southeast Alaska. I think one of the neatest things is that instead of growing up the stem, as if a potato grower knows these things, most potatoes grow up the stem, these grow out. And so it means that you do not have to be there to keep putting dirt on top of your potatoes all summer long. So it's something that you can really, I mean, they literally probably went out to the islands, went out there in the spring, planted the potatoes in the sand hills, and then left them until the fall. And yeah, you could probably do some weeding, and if it was not raining enough, you could do some watering. But even if you didn't get to that, they probably would grow and be a relatively easy thing to grow. So they're not super productive, but they are really simple. And I think that when you're a gardener, it's awfully nice to have simple plants.
What's their flavor and consistency like compared to, you know, what we typically have?
You know, we've cooked them in mashed potatoes. Have you had any, Tammy?
I haven't.
I know. I haven't grown that many. We cook them in mashed potatoes. We make them into French fries. We just eat them baked. They're delicious. They're a long, skinny, fingerling potato, at least the ones that we have. These could be Kasan. They could be Maria's. I'm going to be researching that between now and Friday. But they're fingerling potato that is really textured, really bumpy. So I will definitely have some there when we have the seed potatoes. People can see what they're like.
So there are two types here, from Kasan and one called Maria's.
There are different kinds of potatoes that are considered this kind of Southeast Alaskan native potato.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's the Maria's and Kasan, not exactly real names, but those are kind of the cultivars, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Well, we are about out of time. Tammy, did you have anything you'd like to add?
No, we're just hoping for as wonderful of weather as we have today. So come join us on Friday. Is it at
12? 12:30 to 3 on Friday, over at the Forest Service office, which is across from Sandy Beach. We'll ask people to turn. It's right off of Halibut Point Road. So turn right off of Halibut Point Road, turn left into the parking lot, and we'll have signs directing people to get to the potato bed.
Great.
Hope to see you there.
Well, thank you both so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Melissa.
We've been speaking with Tammy Young from Sitka Tribe of Alaska and Michelle Putz from the Sitka Ranger District.